Al-Bayan Radio presents The Muslim Mindset, hosted by Adnan al-Sheikh, Mazen Kourouch, Abdussalam Umeilif, and Ahmed Rafiq.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To all our continuous listeners, you're joined live with another episode of The Muslim Mindset. Joined today with our hosts, Abdussalam, Ahmed, Mazen, and myself, Adnan. What's the date today?
Assalamu alaikum.
2021. Almost out of lockdown.
What's the countdown now? 5 days? 4 days?
Something like that. Yeah, about 5 days.
Can't wait,
Mazen's
mate.
Hating all the I'm saying you're hating life. You're an introvert. You love these COVID times.
No, I don't, bro. I'll still stay at home, but I just want the option to leave. I won't do it, but I just need to know that I can.
Mazen's hating life because he cut his hair and then they realized, oh, damn, next week it's...
That's what it was. We're locked down, bro. I just went... And then
Abdul's hating life because now he can actually go to a hairdresser when he doesn't want to.
I don't have the same excuse
no
anymore.
Excuse.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before, when people ask me why my hair is so long, I just say the hairdresser's not open. I can't use that now.
Now you just tell them your hairdresser closed down and you stay loyal.
That's the one.
How's your format been, boys?
Alhamdulillah. A very busy one, actually, subhanAllah. I don't know what. I don't attribute it to anything, but subhanAllah, it's been very busy.
Is anyone going back to our full-time work?
What is happening?
I can't hear.
I think we can all hear. Ahmed. Is it you? Is your internet lagging?
I'm saying you guys are so busy.
Can you hear
me? On a bike ride on Sunday.
Yeah, I actually was busy on Sunday, but alhamdulillah. Also, my bike is destroyed. I need to get a new one.
I think the best part about lockdown ending is we won't be able to lag when we're in the studio.
That's probably one of the best things in China. All right, he's going to get us started, inshallah. I'm trying to scroll to the right page on the book.
You boys hear me? I've been lagging like crazy.
I can hear you.
Yeah, okay. Did you guys start?
What is it?
Pay your electricity bill, bro.
And then
I think we all heard that.
We're going to start up an Al-Bayan GoFundMe page for Ahmed to get better internet quality.
You know what? I won't complain. Aim, make the target 100,000.
100,000?
All of Southwest Sydney NBN. 100k.
Not Southwest Sydney, to the Penrith area. Up the Panthers.
Fair, inshallah. Who wants to start us off? Rescue them from the ditch. Like, someone's got to rescue. It's always digging.
Still going, bro. I've got to leave bookmarks.
Ahmed, give him the page number.
I've got my notes in front of me. I don't have the book open in front of me. I've got my notes. So I'll just start it off. It seems like no one wants to start it off. The main thing I took from this was giving the time of day to people that other people won't. So just, you know, the lonely kid, the one that no one speaks to, someone who just seems sad, upset, everyone's just walking by and forgetting about them. Just those sort of people, whether or not you know it, they could be in a ditch themselves. And uplifting them by just giving them time of day, talking to them and asking about them and so on and so forth. What are your thoughts, Will?
I think for me, it falls under.
Yeah,
I always start off with the first thing. No, definitely lagging, Adnan. Who's lagging me? I don't know. Anyways, I was just thinking for me, when. For me, when I was reading through this, take them out of the ditch. I guess for me, that fell under the loving for your brother, what you love for yourself. And for that, like Allahu Alam, you know, everyone's going to go through a ditch at some point in their life. And if we're just going to be selfish and think about ourselves, then we're not going to worry about anyone else getting out of the ditch. No one is ever going to get out of that ditch. And we ourselves will also not get out of that ditch when we fall into it, because we don't offer what we expect to receive. And so for me, I was thinking about it as, if you start that cycle, if you are that person that does and get someone out of that ditch, not necessarily expecting to receive it back, but it's just the concept of when one person does it, the other person learns to do it, and it just does continue around, so that you kind of breed that environment within society.
Very well said.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I took it more so when people get into awkward situations and helping someone out of an awkward situation, you know, like when you're in a gathering and someone, you know, so your friend failed a uni exam or something and everyone starts talking about the uni exam, you quickly switch up the topic before it gets to him to save him the embarrassment, you know? Or when everyone's roasting someone and you kind of uplift them, you when you know they're starting to take it personally, you know, or it's starting to cross the line or changing a subject or making a joke of yourself to help someone else out.
Yeah. I think I thought of it the same way as Adnan saying. So that's a good point there. I think Adnan sounded like it was coming from experience, firstly. What was that first point? But
situations, bro.
Yeah. But jokes aside, I saw it the same way Adnan did, in the sense that someone's put. Say again.
Go. I'm more helping the other side of Ahmed. Ahmed's usually roasting someone, taking it too far. And I'm more defending that person, changing the subject of Ahmed.
way to expose someone, bro. You're doing the exact opposite of what you just said.
He's got it out for you today, Ahmed. Allah. I'll tell you that much. But anyways, like I was saying, so what Adnan was saying, when someone, we've all been in that situation, you know, it's an awkward situation, you're a bit uncomfortable, and then someone changes the topic up, or you know, helps to make it a bit more comfortable, but you made a mistake. I think like the story where the kid had dropped the juice, or he dropped the plate that he was carrying, right? And then the visitor made the kid feel more comfortable by, you know, complimenting him, or even, you know, making a joke about the scenario, just to kind of ease the tension in the room, sort of thing.
He should have dropped the plate as well.
The whole plate.
I think one of the best examples is the example of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as the actual author mentioned it, where they were making fun of his calves because they were so skinny. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, that they are heavier on the scales, I believe, that's something like that. They are heavier than Mount Uhud on the scale. You know, like, that's how you really uplift someone to... Not just like, hey guys, don't pick on him, leave him alone, get away from him, but countering what they said by complimenting as well. And that's a more effective way of uplifting someone or taking someone out of a ditch.
I think the flip side of that as well, you've got taking someone out of the ditch in the process of performing the action, depending on the context and the scenario. Like, let's say, for example, this example, someone is receiving, not necessarily backlash, but like something like not pleasant from someone else. By you doing that, by you taking them out of that ditch, I feel like you do two things. The first one is taking them out of that ditch and uplifting their spirits, but also, not to forget, you're also setting that example for the people that are doing that. You're showing that kind of stuff is not acceptable, not you won't tolerate that. Not just you, as in that's not acceptable within the setting. And so you're basically benefiting in two ways.
Yeah, for sure. It was a pretty simple chapter, in all honesty. I didn't have much more thoughts on it than that.
You don't got anything to add to that? No?
Wrap us up,
man. I'll take that as wrapping up the chapter. The Sheikh says, point of view, intelligent people are always hunting for opportunities to earn people's love. And that then leads
next
us
one
to the
is
next chapter.
Looking after one's appearance. I reckon, Mazen, you should take the lead on this one, since, mashallah, Allahumma barik, you're a head honcho here. And then after Mazen will come me, and then we'll leave Abdussalam to be in.
I think he's frozen. Is he frozen?
I missed all of that.
Don't worry, don't worry.
I missed the whole comment. Go again.
Start us off.
Looking after one's appearance. I've come across this topic in so many. It's funny though, but no, bro, you put me on the spot here.
Hey, you gotta say it again, otherwise.
What'd you say, Abdul?
That's why I cut his hair. I said he's gotta say it again, otherwise, it's not that funny.
Oh, Ahmed. Oh, far out. Oof, Abdul's still lagging from back then. Anyway, so I've come across this topic a few times. A lot of the, I guess,
we can tell.
The path that I'm going to go down and mention is often in society, you've got two sides of the spectrum. You've got one side that is beautifying themselves and it's like understood to be respectable in certain ways. And you've got the other side where people see beautifying yourself as attachment to the material world and all of that stuff. I've copped a fair amount of that in my lifetime. but one thing to learn is that it's part of the sunnah to look after your appearance, and the sheikh actually goes into that. There was a hadith that I'll let you boys get into it just while I try and look up the hadith, because I forgot to note it down. But someone carry on,
yeah,
just while I quickly search that.
So I'll just touch on what Mazen said in terms of looking presentable. Yeah, it is from the sunnah, but the main thing I would say is, in this time and age, especially where everything is so accessible and everyone wants that, you know, high class sort of, you know, branded and designer stuff, the aim is to look presentable, not extravagant. Like a friend of ours, they sent us a link in our group chat showing that there's this jacket being sold called this brand Balenciaga or whatever, I've never even heard of it before, for $5,200. I'm like, what the hell? Who in their right mind will buy this? And get this, the jacket was just a high-vis work jacket with just a bro, brand on it.
It was reversible, bro, but Balenciaga's resale. So.
after the type of guy that buys that stuff.
Yeah. I'm gonna come back for the next chapter, yeah, because otherwise I'll be a hypocrite throughout.
Come on, bitch, yeah.
Abdul, show us what you're wearing.
No, I can't. If I tilt the camera and show you the Jordans on the left, you're freak.
No, but in all honesty, like, you can buy something that's equally as nice or nicer for a tenth of the price. Like, I hate the concept where people are just chasing brands. Like, I get it all the day at work, even today. This person wanted to come get these glasses and they're haggling me for the price because it was expensive. And they're like, look, I really need them. I can't see without these glasses. I'm like, that's not a problem. You don't need to buy a $500 set of frames. You know, that's what's costing you the most, not the lenses themselves. Get something cheaper that looks just as nice. Like, no, I really need this one. It looks the best. I'm like, look at how like distorted people's views are. Just because it's a branded, it's designer, they're willing to, one, he really, really humiliated himself. Like, he got to the point where he was begging for the discount. But, so he humiliated himself just to what? Like, please other people? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And just to clarify, like, because I couldn't actually find the hadith. But just to clarify what I was mentioning before, there's a fine line between extravagance and looking presentable. But the point that I was kind of getting to is that people think that it's of faith or of Iman to not look presentable or to look run down. I don't know if that's the right word. Yeah. But it's quite the opposite. But you need to understand, like, we're not here to give fatwas. Like, that's not what this segment is about, right? So that's for you to ask about and look into and understand for you, because it's different for men than it is for women. It's different for like different circumstances and whatever, depending on the context. But the general idea is, in context, you have the right to look presentable and to have an appearance that is befitting of a Muslim. And that's really what the essence of looking presentable is. When you're walking in the streets and you're conveying the image of a Muslim, we're not, the hadith that I was looking for, I don't have it specifically, but the idea was that as Muslims, we're not supposed to look weak. We're not supposed to look as though we're, you know, on the lower end of the scale. That's not to say we'd be extravagant, but that we have, you know, like Muslims have the izzah, you know what I mean? And so, which is why it's of the sunnah to look presentable. Then you find your own lines depending on your context, you know?
It's within limits. Like even the author mentions the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said, if Allah gives you wealth, then let the effects of Allah's bounty and honor upon you be shown in your appearance. Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, said, once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to a house for a visit and saw a man with disheveled hair. He said, couldn't he find anything to comb his hair? And on another occasion, he saw a man wearing dirty clothes and said, couldn't he find water to wash his clothes with? He also said, whoever has hair should honor it. He used to encourage people to demonstrate good behavior and have a beautiful appearance, nice clothes and a fine smell. He often used to say, Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Now, with regards to those examples, it was simply that of combing your hair, cleaning your clothes. So looking presentable and looking nice doesn't mean you have to have expensive clothing. It means make sure like your clothes is ironed, it's clean, you don't smell bad, your hair is combed, you know, you're not like, you know, disheveled in any way, shape or form. And that's what looking presentable means. It doesn't mean you have to rock that $5,200 jacket, you know what I mean?
Just a question, Ahmed. I think you or maybe Abdul Salam brought it up in your early days of study, but is it true, I've used this before, but I assumed it was because you did your research, but is it true that, for example, with the glasses companies, that it's really they're all the same and owned by the same, like in terms of quality, they all come from a very small number of sources and just labels just throw their name on it. Yeah, in terms of quality, it all comes from a very similar standard, and that it's just a brand label really that people are wearing.
But just think about it, it's a couple pieces of plastic at the end of the day, or a couple pieces of metal. How much different can the quality be?
I'll give you someone thing with other things as well.
I'm gonna give you a good review. That's $500 last me 8 years now. It's still going hard.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, but you take care of it. I can give you a $50 one, Adnan, and it'll probably last you another 8 years as well. You're just one of those people that doesn't like to buy glasses.
Hey, give and take, though. There's a difference, right? Like, paying for something cheap. But I'll give you an example of what you're saying, Maz. There's a pair of Jordans, right? So it's like a collaboration between Jordan and... Say again?
Show us what Jordan's
out. It's a collaboration between Jordan and Dior. And because you guys know the Dior brand name that it's attached to, the shoe sells for up to, you know, $20,000-$30,000. $20,000-$30,000. A similar shoe, also a Jordan 1, that's the same, will cost you $200 for the same shoe that doesn't have the Dior collaboration with it. The quality is essentially the same. The material used is the same. It's just a logo at the end of the day. So that's probably a good differentiation between, you know, paying too much for something. People argue paying for $200 for a pair of shoes is too much as well. But just goes to show you, you know, they put a brand name onto something and all of a sudden it's worth so much. But then there is a difference between paying for a $10 pair of shoes and a $100 pair of shoes when it comes to quality as well. Same with the glasses scenario, right? So you've got to make that differentiation.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, we're not saying don't be smart with your money in terms of spending on quality stuff, but you can still look presentable. The whole purpose of this chapter is looking presentable, right? You can still look presentable with a $20 item of clothing as opposed to a $2,000 item of clothing, yeah. Whether or not it's brand or not. Get the good quality stuff. That's not the point. It's just with what you have and within your limits. And don't be extravagant or musrif in any way, shape, or form. Try to make yourself appealing to other people visually.
Yeah, the most frugal guy I've ever met in my life is in this podcast here, Mazen. I won't use the word tight ass. I'll use the word frugal. He'll spend $20 on an outfit and still look good. So if you need advice on that,
if I can do it, so can you.
Yeah. If you need advice on how to spend a minimal amount and still look good, just speak to Maz.
It's just about being but smart. Like, you know, people say work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, that's
the same thing, bro. It applies with everything.
Yeah, but that's what like I was. Said, I was just going to jump in.
Like Ahmed said, you find the right things though. You find the right things to place each of those, and you can, like Ahmed said, you can look presentable with one budget. You can look presentable with another. The idea is, at the end of the day, this chapter is looking presentable. How you do that, making sure that it's not out. You make sure that it's not in the bounds of extravagance. That's basically what we're saying. Look presentable, but there is a limit. There always is a limit in Islam, and just knowing that limit and not breaching that. It's really it.
Do you guys reckon presentable also means looking after your weight? Like obese and
I feel like that falls under it could be, but I feel like that also falls under health. That's like that in itself is a topic of looking after yourself. Is yeah, there another chapter that goes into that?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go.
The author was talking about that the way you look and your first impression is what makes what is really affects how people look at you. And then he's saying he gave a stat saying the first impression is like 70% of how people perceive you. When you get into someone's car and you know it's there's clothes all over the shop, you get into someone's house and it's messy, you know, you can kind of make an assumption or you make a judgment of who this person is.
Have you guys seen that meme? We all have that one friend. He says, "Get in the car." There's about 30,000 water bottles.
Look, first impressions last, as you were mentioning, Adnan, and it's important to try and make a good first impression. You don't rock up to a job interview in, you know, a thobe or a daggy clothing or whatever it may be. You dress up nicely and you put perfume on and whatever it may be. So the saying that says, you know, like, don't judge a book by its cover, sure. But still, 90% of people will be judged based off how they look at the start. And first impressions are last.
Can I add to that one, Ahmed? A little story. A person that we know, a friend, he runs an engineering firm. And he was saying to me about a year or so ago that he was hiring, right? And as a Muslim, his preference was to hire or give a Muslim a shot first at a job, right? Understandably. So he interviewed a bunch of Muslim guys, you know, for the cadetship role. And he told me, you know, he interviewed at least four or five guys and each person came in, you know, wearing a pair of trackies, a T-shirt, a random tee. You know, some of them came in flip-flops apparently. You know what I mean? For an interview for an engineering firm, you know, that's not how you go about things, unfortunately. And sometimes we have that perception where it's like, you know, don't worry about how I look, how I dress. I'm going to go in and talk a bit and then hopefully I'll get the job sort of thing. But then when he gave the shot to, you know, someone else, a non-Muslim, you know, they come in with a button-up shirt, maybe even a tie, a blazer, proper shoes, proper pants. You know, they're coming in looking presentable. From the get-go, that gives you the advantage with anybody, anywhere, right? Especially when it comes to a job interview. So, unfortunately, sometimes we don't, you know, especially some of us young guys, we don't look into these things. We don't pay attention to these things. And it's something that a lot of us should work hard at. You know, if you're going in for a job interview, put in that extra effort. Look presentable. Give yourself the best shot that you can at getting the job. As an example, but yeah, unfortunately, sometimes it's in our ummah amongst us, you know, younger guys, younger Muslim guys, that we don't pay attention to these things. We don't put an effort with these things. It's something that, you know, a lot of for the younger guys listening, something that, you know, you got to start doing at a younger age.
100%.
I think that just about covers it all.
I know Adnan already read, basically he said the wrap up in his explanation, but the Sheikh wraps it up by saying experience. The first look makes up for 70% of the impression people get of you. So well, like whether it's a legitimate statistic or like just a like a phrase, it's known. Like people know that that first impression is what people take of you. And yes, it can change over time. A lot of people will be like, oh, you know, my first impression of you, I thought you were this and that, and now I think you're the top bloke. But hey, you don't want to go through all of that.
That was my impression of Adnan at the start. First impression was like, what the hell? Who is this guy and how the hell did he come around? Yeah, get him away from me. But then
where'd you meet Adnan the first time?
Huh?
School. Where'd you meet Adnan the first time?
Yeah, just before school. But and then I'm like, you know what? After all, I gave him a chance, he actually stuck to us like glue. And I was like, you know, the top bloke.
Ahmed, bro, I still have your first impression of me written in the back of my maths exercise book.
let's keep that closed for just our social gathering.
Let's bring it out for us.
Huh?
No, bring the book. Keep it secret, bro. Don't expose
people. Yeah, no, I can't. I'll expose him, man. He's repented.
Inshallah.
Yeah, like I was saying, but you might be able to get out of that bad first impression, but you're saving yourself a lot of hassle, and it's just better for you to make a good first impression. Stick with that. All right, next one. Hit us up, Adnan.
Truthfulness.
Now it says honesty. Same.
I'll hit you guys up, so keep going.
All right, Abdul, let's go.
Say again.
I said honesty, truthfulness.
That was directed at you for a reason. As if you got something to say.
One thing that stuck out to me from that chapter was the short but brief sentence that says, lies repel people. And that was like stuck out like a sore thumb to me, because I thought about all the people I've met in my life and, you know, no one, and I've never found that I've ever wanted to befriend or be around or, you know, associate myself with someone who's known to be a liar whatsoever. Like, it's just a distasteful sort of characteristic to have, because you don't know what to trust, and it's just like always joking around. Like, it's like life is a big joke to them, and everything is like as they do as they wish, because they don't have a moral compass of truthfulness within them.
You think why would you befriend someone who's known to be dishonest or not truthful? When you think, for example, it depends on what they're not truthful about, but let's say they're lying about someone's personality traits, then you think to yourself, well, what if they lie to me about someone or lie to someone about me? Or if it's about business dealings, you see them lie with other companies, you think, well, if they lie with them, how are they gonna lie, are they gonna do the same with me? And that circle goes around. So why would you befriend someone like that, and hence ends up repelling people?
Yeah. Look, I remember I've never been, alhamdulillah, much of a liar, but I've always been a joker. And sometimes those jokes require, like the jokes that I used to make in specific would require trickery or lying to, you know, get the joke across or whatever it may be. But I remember I had a teacher at school. He said to me, two of the worst things he'd ever want to be known for, and one of which was lying. I don't remember what the other one was. And then after that I never forgot that statement he made. I'm like, this guy, why? Like, he doesn't want to be known as a liar. So in order to do that, he has to be truthful all the time. And as a result of that, I swore to myself, I'm never going to lie anymore. And as a result, I'll always tell the truth. And hence, I don't need to, therefore, say wallah every time I make a statement so that people can believe me. Because everyone nowadays, the default is, wallah, this happened. Say wallah, wallah, this, and they swear by Allah very, very easy. Like sometimes they're using it even in the wrong way. And I'm like, why do they have a need? Why do they feel like they have a need to say that? It's because that they're not genuinely known for being 100% truthful, and therefore people doubt what they say, and hence they feel like they need to up the ante by swearing by Allah. I don't know if that was a bit too long or complicated, or if it made sense at all, but I found that to be something that really helped me. Mm.
The key to that as well is because it only takes one lie, right, to taint, you know, your reputation, for example. It could be one occurrence, and then all of a sudden that reputation sticks with you. That's the tricky part about that. And also, human nature, within your human nature, how do I say it? You're kind of more inclined to lie than tell the truth, because sometimes the truth is hard to bear, whether it's for yourself or for someone else. Would be my take on it.
And then you've been quiet the whole podcast. Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm lagging quite bad. That's why I'm staying quiet. I mean, you guys taking over. But I agree. It's like, especially when you have someone that you speak to and you know they're lying, sometimes I stay quiet just because I don't want to expose them, but straight away the respect goes down, you know? Like, they'll inflate something or they'll say they did something, and I'm in my head, I'm like, the math doesn't work. It's not realistic what you're saying or what you're doing, or it's not true, or this is actually how it happened. And you can you know that they're twisting the story for their own benefit. And I don't know, for that, it just turns me off people. And it's the same notion in this chapter. The thing that hit me hard was that when a person was speaking to the Prophet, and the Prophet was saying, can a Muslim be stingy? He's like, yes, can he? And he asked him a couple of things, but when he asked, can he be a liar? The answer was straight up no. So there's no tolerance for lying at all in Islam. And sometimes, even though it might be too hard to say the truth, when you're stuck in a sticky situation, it always brings about good saying the truth. Never something bad by saying the truth.
I was actually going to touch on that hadith because I heard a similar hadith. It was probably a different way, and maybe or a totally separate hadith that I remembered when reading this one. And I don't know if it was that same teacher, Ahmed, but it was one of the teachers at school that we were in a gathering, and he gave the hadith. I don't know if someone did lie or it was just part of the topic, but he listed from the hadith that someone asked the Prophet about a number of characteristics or actions, and I think one of them was murder and other major sins as well. And when he did get to the point of saying, and can a Muslim be a liar, and the response was no, a Muslim and a liar cannot be one. So that you're essentially, what I took from that when I heard it was that you're either one or the other. You're a Muslim or you're a liar. Yeah, if the Prophet ﷺ is saying that you can't be one person, like how important is it for us to stay away from that kind of sin or that act?
Yeah, look, and I found also lying or truthfulness or honesty, in a sense, has many different avenues. So one, you have to be honest with others and your dealings, your mu'amalat, right? And also the other is honesty in your ibadat. And by that, I mean in yourself, in your own journey. So be honest with yourself in where you are in your life. Don't lie to yourself. Oh, you know, you've been telling yourself, I'm going to memorize Juz'a Amma, for instance, or I'm gonna read tafsir of this surah, or whatever it may be. I'm going to be doing this. And then a year passes, 2 years passes, and you haven't done anything. That's not being truthful to yourself. You're actually lying to yourself because you're not putting in the effort. You're saying it and you're convincing yourself you're going to do it, but you don't actually put in the effort to ever do it. Therefore, you're being dishonest with yourself. What are your thoughts, please, on that?
Yeah, that's another good take. I was going to say that's another good take, I guess, when you're – like you said, like when you're setting goals for yourself or you're setting milestones for yourself, it's different to lying to other people, but like you're saying, lying within yourself. So being honest with yourself will help you get those results that you're actually after. and it'll help you achieve what you're trying to achieve if you're talking from a milestone goal perspective, right? I feel like that's a good perspective too. I didn't really think about it like that, to be honest.
I think they have in there's an Arabic saying, and it applies to what you just said, Ahmed, and it applies to lying in general. But in Arabic, there's a saying, it says, "Habl al-kizb asir." It says, like, the rope of lying is short. You keep pulling, how far are you going to pull? Eventually, you're going to reach the end. In the general sense of lying, it's eventually going to come out. The truth will always come out. And so if someone's looking for a way out of something by lying, that rope is short. It'll only suffice a short period of time before either you end up it being known, and a lot of the time you end up in a worse situation than you did before because you lied. And then the same thing applies to what Ahmed said. If you're lying between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that habl doesn't even exist. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and how far you're going to keep lying to yourself, either your life is going to end before you realize those lies, or you're going to keep dragging out. And basically those lies are useless. You're not hurting anyone but yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah. Also, just to double up to what Maz is saying, there's a saying in French that translates to "lying isn't good."
This guy. Just before you,
see how he tries
to go into the French one, do you have one in Spanish too?
It also translates to "lying isn't good." So I think it's a universal theme.
Are you going to imagine that? That Arab saying was like actually quite profound, man. I like that. I like that take that you gave. Very good.
Thanks, bro. I didn't come up with it, but...
Yeah, I know. But very good perspective you gave.
But one thing we missed...
I've told that a couple of times.
Yeah. Huh? Dude, it sounds like you've been told that a couple of times.
Boys, my audio is gone. I cannot hear anything.
Now wrap it up, man.
All right, let me get to the end of this one.
Last man standing.
It says, the Sheikh says, reality, they deceived you when they said that it was only a white lie. Because a lie is always black in color. For any of the listeners out there that's going to hold something to that, it's just using references to black.
Are we looking at Ahmed's screen to identify something?
That's what we mean.
Okay.
All lives matter.
Did you say all lives matter?
Boys, I'm just going to say salam alaikum.
Right. Wrap us up, Mezen. You got the last good quality internet.
Can I just say, Ahmed's been eliminated.
Didn't I just wrap it up?
No, like wrap up the podcast, you say.
Oh, wrap up the podcast. Bro, I forgot what you usually say. You got to give me like a script or something. Anyway, bro, I forgot. First of all, that wraps up this week's podcast and our episode. The next chapters will be bravery, steadiness on principles, and I believe the last one will be temptations. Right? So bravery, steadiness on principles, and temptations. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. And that's it. Do we wrap it up? Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.